The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. We've got your off-season Syracuse news, and we've got a special guest that will join us today as well. A little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, and then we'll get into that. And then we'll close the show out. But of course, first, we got to say hello to the folks over at SeatGeek. What it does is the app, download it to your phone, and pick whatever concert or sporting event that you want to go to. And what the app does is it's going to scan the internet for you to find you the best deal on whatever you're going to check out, concert or sporting event, and it rates them on a scale of 0 to 10, and that lets you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks that is a great deal. A yellow dot, that's an okay deal. And the red dot, we don't want red dots. Those are terrible deals. Don't bite on those. But they will scan the best deal you got on the internet. So, you know, maybe you got to settle for a red dot. I'd hate to have to do that, but you never know. Just use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's promo code ACAA to receive the $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. So, we had a review come in. Couple reviews, and I will go over that here in a second. But just so you know, it's that time of year where I start pushing these reviews. The reviews on iTunes, especially, they really help us be recognized when someone's searching for Syracuse podcasts. And we are the most and best rated Syracuse sports podcast on iTunes. So why not help us out a little bit more? Balance out that one very negative one-star review who someone trolled us and didn't leave an actual written review, but ranked us one star. So that's fine. Okay. That's okay. The four-star review on there, I mean, that's okay. But five stars, folks. Five stars. You know, maybe you don't like the show. Well, just keep it to yourself. That's all I ask. So we do, I mean, seriously, right? Why be, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, constructive criticism, Sean.
Let's see. Let's see about this. We had one come in. It's from JuiceCuse86. Says, great podcast, five stars, great podcast. They do a great job. Love listening. It's like a couple of Q's fans sitting down and talking Syracuse sports. Well, that's exactly it.
Yeah, at least that's exactly how it
started,
what it is.
Right? That's how it started on our first episode when 20 people listened. And, you know, we were like, oh, that's awesome. 20 people listened. And now look at us. So, and we appreciate all those. So, anyway, what else we got? Oh, obviously, QSJuice86, let us know what you heard us read your review on the air. Email us at QSMilitia@gmail.com, and we will send out a swag bag. I will need your address, though, so don't forget that. So we're going to have on Paul Boy Green Esden from Inside the Loud House. We started kind of a collaboration with the Loud House, a little partnership, if you will, and we're going to hopefully it grows into something, and we're going to help them. It's a win-win for us, and it's also a win-win for Paul, and he is the site expert at Inside the Loud House, and he also hosts Drive Time Sports, and he's going to join us here in a little bit, and we're going to go over some stuff with him. So we teased it last time. I just didn't want to announce anything before anything was official, and we're going to be joining his platform here in August officially, and that is Sports War Radio. So we got our guy inside Syracuse, and I know that, you know, Joe and I are out of town, grew up in East Syracuse, and we're out of town, but, you know, we have been always looking for the longest time, looking for someone to help us in town, and that's going to be Paul Esden and Jr., and we appreciate that. And I know a lot of our listenership comes from out of town, so you know, he's not reaching the out-of-towners, and so this is a way for him to reach the out-of-towners, and it's a way for us to maybe get more connected in town. So it's a win-win. Right. Anyway,
yes,
I digress. So some quick football news. And if you didn't know, Syracuse football is going to be kind of a big deal this year. And it shows in ticket sales, 6,800 new season tickets sold. And that is with a retention rate of 90% from the previous year. So that's huge. And and that dome's going to be rocking for those home games. I'm super excited about it. And, I mean, what more could you ask for other than maybe if we get to 10,000 new season tickets sold, which I'm sure they're going to push for, but I don't know if
they'll reach that. Record's 8,000.
Yeah, the record is 8,000. It was like 80-something, right?
8, hey, man, something. two and a half more months. So that number can definitely grow.
That's right, absolutely. And, you know, not for anything, the excitement, and we'll get into a little bit of it. Syracuse getting some national attention with, like, you know, we'll talk about Tommy DeVito when Boy Green comes on. But yes, the other thing is Babers getting some attention. 27th among Power 5 coaches rated by CBS and 81st last year. So he had the biggest jump within a year out of all coaches in D1. And in speaking of D1, he's 34th among all of the 130 D1 coaches in the nation. So
That was based on Sporting News. Yeah.
Right.
Sporting News was the one. He was 34th in all D1 coaches, and he was 81st last year. And the CBS poll was just Power 5 coaches, and he was ranked 27th. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody loves the Dino Babers fire, and it's getting some attention, and his electric personality, and just everything everything that he's about, man. I mean, he's going to get the national attention now, and you're starting to see it. And just wait until the season starts. And, they have to.
We're running off that momentum, man.
I know.
Running off that 10-3 momentum, and now we're going to be, you know, we're preseason ranked, and we're getting a lot more acknowledgement and publicity than we used to. So riding the momentum of that right into, I mean, everyone's looking at that Clemson date, week 3, hoping that we can get that game day. So I don't know. Just got to take care of business. But, it's hard not to be excited.
It's hard not to be excited. And, you know, I'm not one to, like way overhype things. I do think it's fun to talk about this stuff. But I believe that in sports especially, it's like a what have you done for me lately type of thing. And if they go on a skid early in the season, you know, maybe getting trounced by Clemson, I mean, that stuff will it'll go away fast. All that hype will disappear quickly. And it takes longer to build it than it does to keep it. So
that's absolutely right, because it's trust, right?
Exactly.
We had Dino's Babers' first year. I mean, we upset ranked Virginia Tech in the Dome, but we ended up 4-8. You know, next year we upset Clemson in the Dome, ended up 4-8. So as much as I am excited about this year, and I think we have the most manageable schedule we've had in a long time. And like you were saying, with me, just in sports, all it takes is one injury. All it takes is one couple bad things to go wrong, and it could mess up a season a couple wins. You know,
I mean, in your opinion, Joe, where are we at with the quarterback situation? I mean, could you imagine if something were to happen to DeVito, God forbid, you know?
It's so long since we've had good depth.
I know.
So long since we've had good depth. I mean, even with, like, when we had Ryan Nassib, who was a solid quarterback for three and a half years, I don't think we really ever had a solid backup. He stayed healthy. He never got hurt.
Right.
And then this Dungy thing. Now, finally, we got DeVito, who I think we trust a little bit going into next year. He's won some games for us coming in and stuff, so we trust him, but now it's back to the whole, okay, well, who's behind him? And honestly, I still think that we're better off than we were before last year. But again, without seeing...
Before last year, we're better off than we were before last year, yeah. But
yeah,
still, yeah. You know...
I mean, like I said, no... I mean, Zach Mahoney, he was... He came in and he did the best that he could. I mean, he was a former walk-on. And he's out there, you know, trying to play LSUs and the Clemsons of the world, and, you know, Louisville's when they were ranked. So he just had a tough go, and, I mean, he gave it all he could, but, it wasn't it wasn't going to be enough. And I feel like we do have a little – we have talent. We have talent there on our bench, but it's yet to be seen if there's enough there. So let's just cross our fingers that our offensive line can keep Tommy DeVito upright.
Yeah, exactly. And the offensive line is probably the biggest question mark that we have. So there's that. But
well, and that Tommy DeVito doesn't run as much as Eric Dungy.
Right, definitely not as mobile, those two pocket things. Passer. Yeah. Yeah, so the protection's got to be there, and that's where our biggest question mark is. So I love the hype. I think it's fun to talk about, but let's, you know, sometimes we got to come back down to earth and just, you know, it's going to be interesting, and it's all on DeVito and that offensive line, and if they can mesh and they can step up, and then, you know, you've got an accurate passer, you got a guy that could be a superstar. So
yeah, and we're going to have high expectations, and we're going to be favorites in a lot of the games as well. So pressure's going to be on us now.
Yeah,
first time in a while.
We're open up against Liberty. We're right now, 17.5 point favorite?
Yeah, 17.5, 18 point favorite opening, yep.
So, the spotlight's going to be on us. And if we disappoint, like I said, it's what have you done for me lately? And if they don't do things for us lately, then they're gonna you know, it's going to fade.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know how
the hype
will go.
You
know how the media works.
Oh, yeah. And you know how the fans work, too. You know how the fans work, too. So, anyways, we'll hear the day will come when we hear, you know, Babers needs to go, which, you know, that day will come. It has not yet, thank God. But,
no, I don't think that day's going to come this year, but let's cross our fingers.
I don't think so either, but you know how fickle our fans are. So, there is Adrian Autry took a team. He put a team together, and they went to Greece. They played three games there. They completed that three-game tour with a win. He brought with him Jalen Carey to get him some experience. Jalen Carey averaged about 6.6 points a game. And good for Carey. He's going to do this Greece trip, and then he's going to come back in August. And we have the dates. We'll go over that in a second. But they're going to go to Italy. So some much-needed experience for Carey, who hasn't quite come out of his shell yet, but has shown some glimpses of, you know, some potential,
And those type of trips, you know, it also it helps people grow, you know, just as men. You know, he's a young man, and he's never been out of the country until this summer, so it's going to be a pretty exciting summer going over to Europe twice. But,
just the trip alone. You know?
What's that?
Just the trip alone. Just going abroad and being there with your coach, you know, I'm sure him and Adrian Autry are spending a lot of time together. That's huge.
Yeah. You grow as a person, hopefully this resonates with him, you know. And Boeheim's talked about how Carey, he's been nothing but good as far as he's taken the constructive criticism and the sitting on the bench and everything like that. It's a 180 of how Frank Howard took it in the beginning, and Jalen Carey, he doesn't give him lip. He doesn't back if he makes a mistake. He understands. He goes to the bench, tries to learn from it. So, I mean, hopefully he can be a nice surprise this year.
Yeah, and like you said, being able to take the constructive criticism, it seems like he's a humble kid, and I think the time with Coach Autry, that's definitely going to help.
Griffin too. Malin Griffin's over there, his assistant coach.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right. Yep. Joe Girard, he was named High School Male Athlete of the Year by
Joey G.
by Max Preps. And yeah, hey, how funny is that? But Joey G, that's what I used to call you back in the day. That's been a long time. So as a quarterback, Girard led Glen Falls football team to 11-2 record and a Class B title. State title, throwing for 3,162 yards and 37 touchdowns. He also added 13 rushing touchdowns and three more on punt returns. Okay? Three punt return touchdowns? I don't care what level you're playing at. If it's your peers and you threw for 37, you ran for 13, and you rushed for another three punt return touchdowns, that's impressive, Joe.
That's impressive, yes.
That's impressive.
As a former kick in punt returner, yes, I can say that's impressive.
I mean, that's getting it.
I had wide one.
You had one? Well, that's good, too. I mean,
not as good as three.
No, it's definitely not. And plus, he was a quarterback returning punts, which is hilarious. 6'2", You know, he's coming in New York State's all-time leading scorer and one of the top scorers in high school history. So, you know, congratulations to him on that award. I can't even count how many awards he's won already so far. And, you know,
very prestigious high school athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing, though. And this is where I'm talking about coming back down to earth. We can't have... I don't think it's... How do I put this? There's a
without
lot...
Without sounding negative? Without sounding negative?
No. Without trying not to overhype the Joe Girard thing. Listen, I think that the transition from high school sports to college sports is can be a shock for young kids. Okay? They're playing against some of these college players are grown-ass men, and right. They're going to be... it's an adjustment. And you can't, you know, this kid's going to come into his own. There's no doubt. I don't know what kind of expectations. I don't have expectations for him, really, in the first year. It's just right. going to be interesting to watch. So he may surprise me. And, you know, all of the people who are saying he's going to be, you know, he's going to be the man in next year. And if they're right, they're right. But I just...
I hope that they're right. You know,
I hope that they're right, too. But that's just I think, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Almost like too good to be true type thing, basically, I guess. So, I don't know.
I mean, I understand, and I can see some, I mean, obviously, the stuff that I like that we've talked about, the fact that he was, you know, captain point guard, captain quarterback. I mean, you know, he had the ball in his hands to win both the basketball state title and the football state title, you know, in the last minutes. He was the one that did that made it happen. I believe he was the MVPs for both of them as well. And I mean, just a guy like that. And then you talk about now you're returning punts. I mean, it takes some cojones to return punts. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's definitely not.
So, and you know, they talk about he's a gym rat. He's fearless. He's gritty. He works hard.
He's a great leader too, clearly.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, all those things, there's no way that he can't not. I mean, there's obviously ways, but obviously there's not.
Barring injuries.
It's very unlikely that this kid doesn't end up being, you know, a solid player for our team.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he could help us the first year, but I just don't see – he's not going to come in and blow the world up, you know. I mean, I think that's just too unrealistic.
Right, exactly. It's all about expectations. And, you know, barring injuries, this kid is going to be dynamite at some point.
Yeah.
And let's just let the kid develop. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
I can see him coming in playing gritty defense, and because of the other players we're going to have.
And he's got the shot.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So because we have Buddy and we have Elijah Hughes, some other people that can shoot, hopefully we'll have some, you know, players inside that can score. He's not going to be the number one, number two. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as number, but he's not going to be the first two options for the other teams to beat. So, I mean, I can see him coming in and just not making mistakes, playing, you know, bringing a ball up, not making and forcing, you know, committing any turnovers, and just trying to just get an open shot here, you know, get the ball to someone else, and then he can be the guy that the other team isn't really worried about, you know, and then eventually he'll grow into that, you know, leader point guard player. So that's what I see, that's what I expect, but again, you never know.
So anyways, with that, we talked about the rule changes a couple episodes ago, moving the three-point line back and some other things. That was the big one. So they're going to implement that already. That happened so quick. And I thought they were all good rule changes, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think it's exciting. Now, there's people that say, you know, let the amateurs be amateurs. Don't move the three-point line back. But it's the international line. It's not the NBA line. Okay,
right.
So it's only going to move back 1 foot, 4¾ inches. Okay,
yeah.
If I did my math right. So,
right. No, it doesn't go all the way back to the NBA. And if you don't play in the NBA or the G League, then you play international. So
right.
Why would you want to shoot from a line that professionals don't do? So at minimum, you know, that's the minimum distance for a professional basketball player three-pointer. So why not make it the same?
Right, and I think it's good. I think it's going to be good for us on. I think it's going to be good for us on both ends of the ball, to be honest with you. So, and we'll just see. But so it moves from 20'9" to 22'1¾". Okay, it's you get international and you start talking like 3/4-inch stuff. So it's just not.
It's probably metric.
Yeah, it's converted from metric. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and how do you even read metric? I mean, what is it? Who knows? You know, you have no idea. Like, what's a meter? Is it 50 feet? Is it an inch? I have no idea. So,
oh, come on, do the conversion. Unbelievable. There's an app for that.
yeah, I know there's an app for that. Then, in you know, I mean,
I've used it.
Speak American. So, all right,
dude. I think we're the only people that don't use the metric system.
Good, good. Let's keep it that way. I'm fine with that. They were going to reset the shot clock to 20 instead of 30 following the offensive rebound. They're going to allow.
I like that one.
I like that one too. And you know, the quicker shot going off. You know, sometimes that'll bite us, and sometimes it won't. I mean, it is what it is. It's fair across the board, though. They're gonna. Where was I? Allow an instant replay reviews on basket interference and goaltending calls in the final 2 minutes of the game. There was one game that changed that, and they made that a rule. So.
I like that one too because
I think that's
within the 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's
within
2 minutes.
That's an important call that can win or lose a game for you. You know, so.
Yep.
If you're talking about a rule to where under 2 minutes to where you can make sure you get the call right, then I'm okay with that.
And then allowing coaches to call the live ball timeouts instead of the players during the last 2 minutes of any overtime period. So that's when it's whatever to me.
Well, that could be tough because now, I mean, you have to think about the fact that now referees have to keep – they have to – You know, it's tough because you're talking about live ball. The referees are supposed to be watching the players during live ball. That's why the players had that power and the coaches didn't. And now you're going to put it back to the coaches, which means that the refs have to try to pay attention to the game while also paying attention to a running coach running over to him. You know, it's kind of like
a little bit, but when a player sees a coach running over, they're going to help him out if he's not, you know what I'm saying?
If they don't see him, then you never know. I mean, I look at it sometimes as like the football thing. You know, where the coaches run down to the ref and they try to get a timeout before the field goal, for the snap, and sometimes they get there and sometimes they don't, and sometimes there's arguments and there's controversy, and that's just kind of what I see here. So I can see certain things happening where, you know, maybe there's a steal on the court, but, oh, the coach just called a timeout, you know, this, or something happened and the coach is, hey, I was trying to call a timeout, you got to pay attention. It makes things difficult. So I don't know if they made any other changes to that rule to kind of cater to the refs to kind of help them out there. But that's one that could cause some controversy, I feel like. So.
Well, we'll just have to see. But like I said, I think the player, if it looks like the coach is having a hard time getting a timeout, a player will recognize that anyway. So assessing a technical foul on players if they use derogatory language about an opponent's race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, gender. All right, whatever. Look, there's no place for that, I don't think, especially in any sport, but especially college, okay? So, totally legit, okay? We shouldn't be making racist comments on the court. And I don't know how often that happens, but...
Well, it's not the playground, so...
Exactly. So, anyway, all good rule changes. And the dates are out, like I mentioned earlier, for the Italy trip. And August 12th, 14th, 17th, and 18th starts off in Who cares? Vedano Alana. Vedano Alana, and then to Vicenza, and then to Siena, and then to Rome. How about that? Okay?
Nice. Well, I'm saying just in case the listeners want to go, they need to know where they...
Oh, please.
You know? So,
please.
Go ahead. What was that first one again? I didn't hear it.
The first one was Vedano Alana, I think. All right. Vedano Alana.
Nice.
Okay. So, anyway, that caught me off guard. I'm like, do I try this? I did. Once you go, you have to go. And that's where I always screw up. So, anyway... My first mistake is to try it, and my second mistake is to stop when I'm trying it. Anyway, so those games I hope are streamed. I still don't have any information on that. I've tried looking it up, and I haven't seen anything. So it's going to be great.
I'm really hoping so.
It's going to be great for Joe Girard, like we talked, John Bolajac, Bryson Goodine, Quincy Guerriere, Jesse Edwards. I think.
Yeah, Jalen Carey.
Jalen Carey's going to be back. He's going to play. It's not going to hurt.
It's
going to
be good for everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be good for everybody, but Braswell and Howard Washington especially, you know, the other guys played last year. So, So that is that, and we are going to bring in at Boy Green 25, Paul Esden Jr.
But first, it's time to hear from the good folks over at MyBookie. If you've never bet online before, I would suggest you just research it, see if it's right for you. If you have bet online before and you know what to expect, there's no better place to go than MyBookie. Summer is the best time of year. I think we can all agree on that. We're talking vacations, the beach, lots of sun, and of course, sports. So while you're sipping on your favorite beverage by the pool or the beach, why not get a little action on the game? Whether you like MLB, MMA, golf, or anything else, MyBookie is the place to bet. Their mobile site is easy to use and allows you to make bets from anywhere. No hassle, no waiting in line, no need to get off the couch. Now is the perfect time to replenish your bank account after that vacation and make sure you've got plenty of bankroll come this football season. Maybe you want to drop futures on next year's NBA championship or back your favorite player to win the Heisman. MyBookie wants you to have as much fun as possible this summer. And what's more fun than winning money while you watch sports? Just visit mybookie.ag today to get started and try your luck at outsmarting the odds makers. But wait, if you deposit, use the promo code Qs25 today. MyBookie will give you 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code Qs25. And MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, joining the show now is site expert for Inside the Loud House, host of Drive Time Sports. You can listen to him every Monday through Friday at 4 to 6 p.m. on AM 1260 The Score. Paul Boy Green Esden joins the show. Paul, what's up, buddy?
Guys, thank you so much for having me. Been a big fan of the show. Finally able to come on. This is fantastic.
This is awesome, and I hope this is the beginning of some great collaboration. I'm just honored to have you on and start something new with a couple of up-and-coming powerhouse audio, one on the audio end, one on the written end, covering Syracuse sports, man. So you're a man that wears many hats. And
yeah, certainly. Yeah.
You're a busy dude, so I appreciate the time, and we're going to be joining your platform in August before football season starts. Officially, we'll be joining that. Sports War Radio. Yep. All right. Well, without further ado, you had a piece that I think came out yesterday.
Yeah.
That was pointing to Tommy DeVito, as experts were talking about him being a surprise Heisman candidate. Now, you could look at this and be like, well, that's ridiculous. We haven't seen a whole lot from him. He's showed glimpses, definitely some glory, but it's not so much the fact that, you know, the Heisman candidate thing might be a little overhyped, but it's the recognition and the fact that you point out in your piece there that, you know, he's never started a game, therefore he's never really had a game plan revolve around him going into a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the point I would start with, is obviously the Heisman thing seems a little much. There's been one Heisman winner in Syracuse history, that's Ernie Davis. So that's some pretty elite class that we're talking about. Of course, Syracuse fans would have liked another Heisman winner, maybe in 87, but still, you know, maybe that's a conversation for a different day. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, the Tommy DeVito Heisman possibility, to me, it's more so just speaking about the hype that's around the program right now. This is the most hyped season of Syracuse football, definitely within the last 20 years or so. It's exciting, and for good reason. Syracuse fans should be excited after a 10-3 campaign last year, first double-digit winning season since 2001. But that's the thing for me, is whether good or bad. There was good and bad from Tommy DeVito. We could be really objective about this, is because obviously people, and the good thing I like about Inside the Loud House and being able to write these articles and then share them in all these different Facebook groups is I get to hear feedback, both positive and negative, maybe not even on the writing, but the topic itself. So, and I love interacting with these guys. And, you know, when this article was shared, it's really gone viral on all social media. It's been fantastic. Is that people have been coming on saying, like, oh, what about the Western Michigan game? And to me, here's the thing. First off, that's week one of the season. Uh-huh. Secondly, Eric Dungy obviously played phenomenal in that game. He had more rushing yards than passing yards. He ran for 200 yards. That was a career best during his time at Syracuse. And, you know, Syracuse kicked the crap out of Western Michigan. And then all of a sudden, he said, all right, kid, Tommy DeVito, here's the keys to the car. Just don't crash it. You know, they had such a ginormous lead that this was an opportunity for Tommy to kind of get his feet wet.
Right.
And obviously, he did not thrive in that game. The defense, I think, had some issues, too. But overall, there was low points such as that. Notre Dame, obviously, would be another low point at Yankee Stadium. I was there live at that game. But I think there's a positive. And the biggest positive for me is that North Carolina game. If Tommy DeVito does not come in that game with just over 5 minutes remaining, he obviously went to extra and overtime. But if he doesn't come in, the Syracuse season could be lost. That would have been their third straight loss. It would have been 4-3. The next game up was against NC State, who, by the way, was the top 25 team at the time, and they were going to play in a Saturday primetime game for the first time since 2010. And then likely, you know, if they lose three in a row, I'd likely venture to guess that they weren't going to fix it against NC State. All of a sudden, this team's 4-4, and all hell's breaking loose. This would immediately look like the past couple of years of Syracuse football under Dino Babers, where things look pretty good, and then they collapsed. 2 years ago, we saw the awesome Clemson win, and then Syracuse lost five straight. The year before, obviously, 4-8. So 4-8, 4-8, and then you're 4-4, and now the team's looking at themselves like, oh, not again. So that could have happened. But even with the good and the bad, the thing that I would point to is to say he's never started a college football game before, which also makes the Heisman talk crazy. But also on the other end, he's never had a full game plan. He has never gotten a ton of reps in practice, and that's the key, because in college, the pros, whatever it is, when you're the backup, you don't get a lot of reps. There's only so many reps to go around. So good or bad, Tommy DeVito has done a lot of this winging it, so to speak. He's been thrown into the game. He did not start a game last year. Eric Dungy, for the first time in his career, started every game of last season. And Tommy DeVito did come in spot duty on occasion. So I don't know if we have enough of a sample size to determine really what kind of player Tommy DeVito is, whether good or bad.
I would agree. And also one other thing to point out, too, is that what Dino Babers did with Eric Dungy last year, you know, making that's not really his style of quarterback, right? So Tommy DeVito is his guy. And what he did with Eric Dungy
just shows
his coaching skills. And now he's got his guy that's going to be running the type of offense that he wants to run. And we just don't know what that looks like yet. I mean, it could be huge. It could be a disaster, but let's be positive, right?
Yeah, that's also true. Well, it could be that. That's the other thing, just jumping in here, is that's the key. Is Eric Dungy is leftovers, man. He was from the Doug Marrone, Scott Schaefer regime, and he was just kind of there. So Dino Babers slapped the leftovers in the microwave, and he set that puppy to popcorn, and Eric Dungy did pretty well on the fly. Tommy DeVito is the hand-picked guy. He was selected specifically for this Dino Babers offense. And I think that's why there's so much hype. And despite never starting a college football game before, this is year number three for Tommy DeVito. So he's been learning the system over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's perfect. The way that I look at it is it's more of a culture thing. You know, Eric Dungy, he did his thing. And now, like you said, handpicked Tommy DeVito. And up until last year, like you said, it was Eric Dungy or bust. We didn't have a backup. We didn't have anything. And you saw the culture change, because before it was, if Eric Dungy's not in, I felt like the team didn't think they had a chance. So now last year, like you said, I mean, it was what, 6-0 or 3-0 at halftime against Florida State. And Tommy DeVito came in and we ended up kind of handling Florida State. And then, like you said, if he doesn't come in for North Carolina, who knows what the rest of our season looks like. So I think that by Eric Dungy leaving, the culture that he left behind and the experience that Tommy DeVito had, and on top of that, I think Dino Babers' offense is tailor-made to put up the stats for a Heisman candidate. So I think that's one of the reasons why we got the hype. But like what you said, Paul, like the hype that we're getting with ESPN, with all these other outlets, we've never had that before. You know, I used to watch Game Day and just hope that they would mention something positive, you know, about Syracuse. And now we're thinking that it might be a possibility that Game Day's coming to the Dome for Clemson week three, and just the turnaround, like you said, is just amazing. And I just can't wait for it, man. I'm really, really excited about this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and again, people should be excited.
Yeah. And the hype around Syracuse football is real. Now the Heisman talk, you know, it's just fun. It's national recognition. It just shows where the program's headed. So, and Paul, I know you're strapped for time here. So switching gears real quick, we put a poll out. I know you saw it. It was the, you know, Boeheim's Army. Okay. They need one more wingman, in my opinion, and to make this team a force. And they're already, I think, going to be pretty good. They've been picked, as you noted, inside the Loud House. ESPN picked them to be one of the favorites, along with Overseas Elite. So I put the poll out, 427 votes, and CJ Fair, with over well over 200 votes, runs away with it at 54%. Demetrius Nichols with 12%, Andrew White coming in second with 23%, and Chris Joseph with 11%. You talked to Kevin Belby, and you kind of have a little inside source there. What you put out something in Inside the Loud House, and you heard Andrew White's name in the rumor mill. Any news on this? Anything brewing inside Boeheim's Army adding their eighth player?
Absolutely. I did speak to general manager for Boeheim's Army, Kevin Belby, and currently they've got a nice eight-man roster that features one non-Syracuse alum. That's Jordan Crawford. Thank you to Eric Diebendorf for not only his scoring on the basketball court, but his recruiting off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Eric Diebendorf. There's John Gillen. Chris McCullough making his first appearance in a Boeheim's Army uniform on top of some of the classics like Orenze Onowaku, Hakeem Warwick, Brandon Trish, and also Daryl Mookie Watkins as well in this group. So Kevin Belby likes the roster that is currently constructed, but he wants to add one more guy. He made that clear to me in a conversation over the last couple of weeks. And there's several players that have come to the forefront. Obviously, we've heard the speculation about Melo. It seems like for all those guys, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, it does seem at this point that yeah. Carmelo will have opportunities in the NBA. He had opportunities yeah. at the end of last year. He decided to not pursue those because ultimately for Carmelo, the thing that's driving him now is to win an NBA championship. He's done a lot of other things. He's one of the greatest scorers of this generation. So I think that's what his soul chase is. So Melo aside, some of the players they're considering is Andrew White is at the top of their marksman's list right now. They want Andrew White. Andrew White obviously would love to be a part of Boeheim's Army himself. It's just about getting the pieces together. And, you know, part of that is, like, let's just go to another name, Michael Beneje. He announced on Instagram that he was coming over to Boeheim's Army.
Yes,
I hear that story. I see people start covering it, and I start talking to people inside on both sides of this, and that was premature. Kevin Belby says, you know, that'd be great, but it's far from over, so I'm not sure why he threw that out there. And then we come to learn that, you know, just announcing isn't enough. You have to go through an entire application process with the TBT tournament. And Michael Beneje never filed in the paperwork.
Ugh.
And also on the other side, they didn't come to the verbal agreement yet to bring him over. So the Beneje thing ended up falling through. So there's still one more guy they want. It's Andrew White. I know a lot of fans would love to see CJ Fair. I would, too, personally. I love CJ Fair. He's another guy that certainly could be in the mix. Chris Joseph is a guy certainly they've discussed. But Andrew White, by far and away, is the number one guy on their board. And not just for what he can bring, obviously, on the court, which is, you know, a big piece of this, but even still his leadership. And he brought that, even only being here at Syracuse for 1 year, he broke GMAC's single season three-point record. That would be a great addition to this Boeheim's Army roster as they try to cut down the net for the first time in their history.
40% from behind the arc with the orange.
Not bad.
Pretty damn good. So
he's a sharpshooter, man. Yeah. And when he missed, it wasn't by much.
Yeah. and quickly, last thing I got for you, Paul. Overseas Elite, they can't be beat thus far. 25-0. Syracuse played them only one time in 2017. They lost by four. They lost a couple guys coming into this year, but have never lost. And you talked to you talked to Kevin Belby about that as well. And how do you beat Overseas Elite?
You know, he did reveal to me the game plan for beating Overseas Elite, although they've never been defeated before. And some of his response included, first off, I think that's a good point, is that Boeheim's Army has only played Overseas Elite once, and they were right in it to the end. They didn't get blown out. They didn't get the doors blown off them. They lost by four. And, of course, in this TBT tournament is the Elam ending, so the game ends with the shots. That's just how the tournament works. They've adapted that. The Elam ending creator on my show before. He's fantastic. It's a cool concept, and obviously Boeheim's Army is still gritting their teeth about that because they have only had one chance to dethrone Overseas Elite, at least in one-on-one competition. And really, I would probably mirror a lot of what Kevin Belby told me, is that this is a single elimination tournament. It's very much like the March Madness. To beat Overseas Elite, you basically have to throw the perfect game, and you have to be able to not make mistakes and shoot yourselves in the foot, because that's where Overseas Elite can get you, because they're 25-0 over the last 4 years. I mean, we talk about the Golden State Warriors all the time, and this is a team that is very, very, very good. I can't say that enough. And there's two guys that they're missing that is not on the team anymore. Kyle Fogg and Eric McCollum are guys that when they played Syracuse in that lone opportunity, they combined for 29 points. They were the top two scorers on Overseas Elite. And really, they were key cogs during much of this run. They're no longer on the squad, from that 2017 run. And on the same token, in fairness, the Bayhams Army roster from 2017 is not really what it is this year. Eric Diefendorf is the only guy who's been on every edition of Bayhams Army throughout this tournament. But what I love about this Bayhams Army roster that has been put together is there's good, there's 3-point shooting on this team. There's depth. There's some youth with some veterans, like a Chris McCullough and guys like Eric Diefendorf who have been there, done that. And I think that's going to help a young guy being in this Bayhams Army tournament for the very first time. But to beat Overseas Elite, basically, if we're going to boil it down simply, you have to play your A-plus game, and they have to play less than that, a B for you to have a chance. And really, with how the TBT tournament is set up, if these two teams are going to square off, it's going to have to be for all the marbles that are on opposite sides of the bracket.
Yep, that's right. Tuesday, August 6th in Chicago, if they do get to play this year, would be the championship game, and that's the time and place, 9 o'clock. Yep. So, all right, hey, dude, that was great. Thank you so much for coming on. First of many, I hope. I really appreciate it. And, go to InsideTheLoudHouse.com. Get your stuff there. You know, check. Obviously go all over the place, but Inside the Loud House and Paul and all the guys over there and gals, it's they put out some good stuff. It's short, quick, to the point, and packed full of information. So,
get all the news you need.
We love going there. We've gotten a lot of our recruiting information there. So, site expert for Inside the Loud House, host of Drive Time Sports, Paul Boy Green Esden. Thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Can't wait to be back on again soon.
All right, bud. Yeah,
absolutely.
You take care.
Bye.
So, Joe, we've been lucky enough to have some opportunities be almost put in our lap during two consecutive off seasons.
Yeah.
To have a relationship with the guys from Inside the Loud House and Paul, and to have this type of collaboration.
Man.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And we're blessed
to do
it.
He's all in. Yeah.
Yeah, we're blessed to do it. And, you know, we are a little pressed for time today, so I kind of kept things moving. But, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait to sit down. We could have some in-depth conversations. So.
Well, I think we'll probably do, and with as far as getting prepped for football. And obviously, we talked a lot already this episode about how big football is going to be, I think, for the 2019 season. So.
Yep.
I'd like to thank Paul and Inside the Loud House and Armchair All-Americans, obviously my bookie, SeatGeek, James on guitar, all of you for listening. That is it. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.